Welcome to the Cloud Machine Podcast, your all-access pass to the music industry. Every week, we immerse you in the music world, uncovering industry insights, offering expert guidance, and exploring the stories that influence the music industry. Cloud Machine Podcast is brought to you by Aites, the innovative creative agency behind some of your favorite live concerts and tours. Want to take your music to the next level? Join our vibrant community on the Aites Network Discord. My name is Josh Day, the editor behind the Cloud Machine Podcast. Your host, Matt Landry, is currently away on tour right now with the Beaches. In the meantime, we want to show you some more highlights from previous episodes, this time on the topic of social media in the music industry. You'll be hearing from various musicians, musical directors, and people working in artist management and more talk about the role and impact of social media in the music industry. This is a huge topic, so we'll be splitting this episode into two parts. Over on YouTube, these clips are going to be posted as individual videos over the next 2 weeks for you to access easily. In the first clip, artist manager Natalie Weigel talks about social media, AI, and promoting your music.
I want to talk about the industry in general. Very, very overarching question. Where do you think the industry is going, the music industry?
I don't think the industry ever changes like a ton overall. I think it's always like going to be there. Everyone's going to need music. Hopefully AI doesn't get in the way of like creatives. Like I hope AI doesn't take the job or the place of creatives like artists in the field.
Yes. Yeah.
Cause you already kind of see that with, like painters or like people who do digital art and things like that. Like you kind of see AI already starting to make its way in.
Yes. Yeah.
Hopefully it doesn't continue on that trend and that real people can keep their jobs and AI can just help enhance it.
Mm-hmm.
But then obviously I think we're going to continue just being really social media heavy and whatever app is popular at the time, we're going to just keep leaning into. It was Instagram at one point. Now it's TikTok. I'm sure in 10 years it's going to be something else.
If you had to predict what's after TikTok, I've had this conversation recently.
I kind of think maybe YouTube Shorts, just because it's available across so many different countries that other platforms aren't. And then obviously like YouTube has the integration of their music platform too, which yes. I know is like the most popular out of all of them available, but there is that side of things too. So I think YouTube Shorts could get more popular.
Very cool. Other than social media, are there some new developments in the music industry that you're interested in? Maybe something that I'm not seeing, that some of our listeners aren't seeing, but you're seeing in your position?
That's a tricky one.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's hard. Like I still think like social media is like the biggest thing that's happening.
Mm-hmm.
Not so much as that, like what people aren't seeing, but like, I think the back end of like how things are promoted and pushed to you through social media is probably what the fans don't see, because a TikTok might be doing really well organically through the fans just pushing it themselves. But then 2 weeks later kind of starts to die down. The label's probably going to put money behind it so that it keeps getting pushed non-organically and it still keeps getting fed to people who otherwise wouldn't have seen it.
Yes. Interesting.
Yeah. So I hope that answers your question. Okay.
No. It's really great, because recently we've been talking about how fans are really at the forefront of deciding what and who's at in maybe like the top five artists right now. It used to be that labels were deciding for the fans, but now it's the fans almost deciding for the labels, honestly, who they should sign, who should be on the top. Chappell Roan had this huge song, still has this huge song, but it's because of the fans that this happened. And you know, we're seeing a lot of people in the industry like this. I would even say like a Noah Kahan over the past few years, that he's had huge artists now because of the fan empowerment. But you bring up a certain is thing that we haven't talked about yet, which is, okay, yes, the fans have a say up until they don't anymore, and the label still has to make money. And in regards to that, they push it non-organically. I think that's very interesting.
Yeah, and like, it's, people don't want to put money behind something that they're not going to make money on. So let's try and get content out. Let's see what works organically, what people are naturally driven to.
Yes.
And then from there, okay, then we're going to put money behind it. We're going to push it further because we know that there's an audience for this and we're not reaching everyone to our full potential.
Right.
So like, it is very strategic and it makes sense.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's still not fully organic.
Yeah, it's the first time I think about it in regards to the fans being almost like the tool, like the discovery tool. If these thousands of fans like this content or this style of content or this template.
Yep.
I hate that word, but for this type of stuff, but this template of content, why wouldn't it work for all these other people? You know, and it's
exactly.
we didn't spend any money on this. It worked. Now let's do it again and then push it and really put money into it.
Even you see a lot of artists now that they post clips of their unreleased music online. And I think that's definitely a really smart strategy to see of what are the fans resonating with? What do they like? And if something takes off, we're releasing this 2 weeks from now, 4 weeks from now, because it's popping off and like, let's go.
Yeah. So, yes.
And it also works in that way too.
Yes. Yeah. Last week with Mickey, we talked about like 1999, the Valley song that, the night that they were writing and recording it, they put it out on TikTok and, it blew up and they had to submit the song like a few days later because it was blowing up on TikTok and it sort of forced them to fast forward their process, even though that it was a quick process already. It didn't maybe fast forward their writing and creating process, but it fast forwarded their process of publishing the song. So that's really interesting.
Yeah. Cause I mean, now we like short clips. We like things fast. So if we see something online that's blowing up, then we know we don't have too much longer before the next thing takes its place. And if you don't release it quick enough, like people are going to get bored of it. If you get teased a song for 2 months, you're going to feel like you've already heard the song. So like, why are you going to go to Spotify and listen to it? You know?
Yes. So. Yes. And that's a whole thing too, where it's like, excuse me, maybe you have some insight into this. I mean, I'll ask you in regards to the balance between sort of promoting a song before it's available for people to really go and check out. Like how do y'all see that in regards to like, basically like the, like budgeting the amount of time to promote it pre-release, but then after the release, what's that? What are those sort of conversations like?
It's like a lot of times for us. And like I said, it's probably different for different genres.
Sure.
For us, how it will happen is sometimes people post clips of an artist playing a song out during a show that's unreleased. Sometimes that blows up. Right. So then we're like, okay, that means we have to fast track putting that out. Mm-hmm. And then usually we try to leave about a 2 week window of the artist promoting the song themselves or teasing the song out and everything. And then from there, get the music out. But like, I'd say like 2 to 4 weeks is the most you'd want to push it.
Right.
Just because after that, like I mentioned before, people just feel like they've already heard the full song then, or they'll just be bored of it. It's not exciting anymore. But then obviously like you can still do stuff, like you still like work with the song after it's released as well.
Yes. Oh yeah.
But yeah, we have short attention spans now, so we need to get things out quickly.
Yeah. Yeah. So you're saying sort of see what songs work.
Yeah.
Then if that one works, spend 2 weeks on it and then release it and then spend more time on it afterwards.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. That's really great. I really feel sometimes like artists should spend a lot more time promoting their material after it's released. But I feel like sometimes there's a bit of a fatigue. Like it's almost like there's a fatigue from the artist and the camp about that they're almost sick of the song, but the song just came out like yesterday. So they stopped pushing, but they've been promoting it and thinking about it for months now. Do you feel that?
Not for every artist, not for every song, but definitely that does happen, because sometimes like an artist wrote a song a year ago and they were waiting for the other songs maybe on the EP to be finished.
Yes.
They've been sitting with this song like for a while, and it's out, they're happy it's out to the fans, but then after that they just kind of want to move on from it.
Yes. Yeah.
But not every time, but sometimes.
Yeah. So. Fantastic. Fantastic.
In this second clip, artist manager Andrew Mansfield discusses the future of music discovery and community building. He talks about how AI and algorithms are reshaping music consumption and the shift from social media to more personalized platforms for fan interaction.
I want to ask you about some new developments that you're seeing in the industry that you're interested in. Very general question, as in from a manager's perspective, maybe even from a fan perspective. Is there anything that's going on right now in the music industry that you're like, oh my gosh, this is we're going to be looking at this in a few months, or okay, this is cool. You know, are there things like that?
Yeah, I mean, I'll speak generally. Because specifically, I'm not 100% sure. There are so many little micro moments in this business of like intrigue that, you know, come and pass very quick. My background is very digital. So I focus a lot of my interest on, you know, digital things. I think on the music consumption side, so the fan side, I think I'm genuinely interested in what AI will do for discovery.
Yeah.
I'm not quite sure how that'll play out. I think, you know, I think AI, we've started to see on like the Spotify side, and I'm sure we'll start to see that across other DSPs as well with discovery. But I think what's more interesting to me is like as AIs become personalized to users, I think it'll be interesting if AIs learn to interact with each other. My AI will start to try and shape the algorithm of the AI of the Spotify side, there's going to be this weird kind of like, you know, communication that lives below the surface. I don't know how that's going to work, but I'm interested in where that plays out. I think that's on the fan side, but on the artist side, on the business side, I think community building is going to be, with respect to digital, is going to be interesting. I think one thing that I've, you know, grown up on is community building, at least in my mind, used to be synonymous with social media following. I don't think that's the case anymore. Or I think that maybe it is, but to a lesser extent. Algorithms are amazing for discovery. They are not good at community building. They focus way more on individual videos. As moments in time, but community building is, you know, consistent communication, and it's, you know, back and forth between fans and artists. So I think that's probably going to be community platforms that pop up for fans, for super fans that don't rely on algorithm to kind of see content and consume things. I think, you know, maybe a step back in the old days of Instagram, where if you followed someone, you'd get all their content. I think that, you know, from a discovery perspective, that isn't helpful. And that's maybe where social media can continue to succeed. But I also think that if someone puts up their hand to be a fan or a community member of a specific artist, they probably do want to see everything. And I think, you know, where that lives, I'm not quite sure yet, but I'm interested in it.
Well, I think we've seen some steps as well towards that, right? In the Instagram, like the channels where artists can like invite you to the channel and be like, okay, every message that I send in there, you get a notification. It's like a whole thing. But I think it's really interesting to bring that up. Both the AI for discovery on the artist side, just because we haven't necessarily talked about that lots on this podcast, as in how AI not will impact the musical creation side and all things, but how it'll help consumers sort of get the music that AI thinks that they need or they want. You also mentioned, of course, the community building. I think it's interesting. Are there current ways that y'all are doing that community building right now and not the Instagram sort of channels?
There is. And there's pros and cons to it. So we use Lalo. Shout out Lalo. I love Lalo for this stuff. I mean, a traditional marketer would call it a CRM. I think it is. I mean, it's email marketing 2.0, right? Like it's email open rates are extremely low. You know, the new generation isn't necessarily associating their personal lives in their email inboxes. So Lalo does a really good job about moving, you know, their personal interests into Instagram DMs, into text-based formats, which I think is great. And as a start, it also allows for you to have, you know, more direct contact with your fans. But I don't think it's quite there yet. I think the disadvantages to Lalo is that it's a lot of upkeep to keep communication with every single fan. And I think, you know, a benefit of it, like of a Discord, for example, is wonderful because it brings everyone, all the fans into a group together where yes. communication between fans builds community. Which I think is great because an artist doesn't need to be ever present for a community to build. Whereas in Lalo, it is a lot of the onus is on an artist to continue the communication. So I think from like a workload standpoint, a Discord is a beautiful way of building community. Mm. But Discord has a brand. It has a tinge to it, you know, and I think that's not for everyone. Not every artist wants to participate in a Discord channel, which I completely understand. And if you're going to drive your fans into a Discord but never be present there, then is it really providing a benefit or is it starting to provide a disservice? So I think it's, you know, those are two examples of, I think, platforms that do some things well and some things not. And I think I'm not really sure. I think it'll continue to evolve. I think those platforms will probably steal features off of each other, which is great. Yeah, those are two examples, I think.
In this third clip, LA musician and playback engineer TJ Rodriguez discusses the shift in the music industry's focus from talent and sound to image and presentation. Reflecting on a quote from Joni Mitchell, TJ explains how artist image and wardrobe often take precedence over musical performance, especially in the age of TikTok.
On the podcast, the Club Sheet podcast, we do a quote segment. Last year, it was Erykah Badu's quote, that compared the music art form, music as an art form, to music business and how they were different, how they were the same, how people, guests on the podcast, saw themselves within that balance. This year we have a quote by Joni Mitchell, and this is the quote here. She says, "I heard someone from the music business saying that they are no longer looking for talent. They want people with a certain look and a willingness to cooperate." Now, for context, this is in 2004. And this is not necessarily something that she said, but she heard somebody from the music business saying that they are no longer looking for talent. They want people with a certain look and a willingness to cooperate. And yes, this is 20 years ago. This is one of the reasons why I picked it. So what are the first instincts that you have when you hear this sentence here?
Well, let's see. My very first instinct is I wonder exactly who she heard that from. Cause right. that is, if it's somebody from the business, that sounds like somebody who's probably from a record label.
Yes. Yeah, sure.
You know? I mean, honestly, unfortunately, it's becoming more and more true every year. Especially for me, like I see it now all the time. Like the music industry really is starting to prioritize, I guess you would say, an image of an artist yeah. rather than a sound. I mean, I see it all the time, man. Like people, like fans really care more about what an artist may have wore for a show, like what her wardrobe was versus yes. like what song was the best. I mean, right. in the age of TikTok, it's all about comments. It's all about like, oh, look at this yes. show that we just saw. You know, it's look yeah, how good yeah, yeah. he or she looked. You know, it's not necessarily about like a good song, or she sounded great, he sounded great. It's really like, oh my gosh, she looks so iconic, he looks so iconic, you know.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Slay queen stuff.
No, literally. And it's
yeah.
Even on the inside of the industry, and not to name anybody specific, but I see it all the time where artist managers prioritize where they spend money. It's they'll fly people from across the world for glam and wardrobe, and then like the audio people and the techs get the short end of the stick, you know.
Sure.
Even the musicians too, you know. It's like,
yeah,
you're kind of starting to see a wave of prioritization in the glam and the look more than, you know, the music in the music industry.
You know? Yeah, very interesting. How does that impact, or does that impact how y'all are planning the music and the show and the pacing of the show and like things like that? Are there more dance breaks now because people prioritize that, because people want to take their videos out? Are there things like that you know, prioritize, you know, maybe some more crowd interaction, like things like that?
Yeah, I mean, there's a ton of instances where now we have to allot time for, like you said, like dance breaks, wardrobe changes. So we're creating musical instrumentals that necessarily no one really, to be brash, like no one really cares about it, but like something has to happen. So there could be a 3-minute wardrobe change, because that's like the most important part, you know, that there's a wardrobe change to fit this next theme. Yes. And I'm not saying it's not bad. It's awesome. It's just, it's really funny to see like where, you know, in 2004, where that quote came from, like, where was music then, you know?
Yeah.
Back in the early 2000s, like you had like Britney Spears and TLC and all of these people who was just like, people wanted to hear the music, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And now it's like, we're putting on a show, like we're putting on a movie, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
The
yeah.
Content creation, all of the screens, all of the video and lights, it's the wardrobe. I mean, it's a whole theatrical thing now, you know?
Yeah.
So there's definitely a lot of things that we have to do on the programming side to cater to that more than before. Yeah.
For sure. Definitely.
In this fourth clip, indie artist Jade talks about TikTok and community building in music and ending the TikTokification of the music industry.
I'm personally, and I could be so wrong, but this is just me and what I would like to believe. I'm seeing like the TikTokification of things kind of die out a little bit.
Yes.
Nice.
In a good way. Yeah.
Yeah, like I just want that to be over. I miss when TikTok was like funny videos, like, you know, I just want it to be what it is. I don't want it to touch the music industry. Like, I get when songs pop off, you have your Apple Dance.
Oh, like, yeah. Love an Apple Dance.
Yeah, we love the Apple Dance. But I don't know. I think that it's like it got too serious, and it kind of like killed the like sparkle that it had. So I hope that the industry kind of goes in a way that's like just away from TikTok. That's all I can ask right now. I don't know where it's going to go. I just want it away from that platform.
Right. Do you think there's something after TikTok? And if so, what do you think it is?
For sure there is. Like
of course.
Same thing before it even came out, you know? It's just like, I don't know what that's going to be. I'm not I don't work in app programming. so I don't really know.
Yeah.
I think what you'll start to see and what we're already kind of seeing is like tight-knit community building.
Yes.
You have like Discord, you have Weverse, which Ariana Grande just joined. Like I was on Weverse a long time ago. Mind you, that's like a big, I want to say like K-pop space.
Right.
But I think you're seeing, and I mean, even with Instagram doing like the channels, and you have close friends and you have specific like close friends posting now, I think that it's a lot more like community driven as opposed to public driven.
Yes. And I feel like, especially with the Instagram, you know how like artists are like creating their own channels now and stuff?
Yeah.
It's I feel like because of the algorithm, the algorithm has sort of like corrupt like people's like pages, So, and they're not like seeing the people that they actually want to follow. I feel like people want to see the people that they actually like and follow now. And it comes back to the community, and sort of fostering those communities, which is fantastic, honestly, for music specifically, because it's all about that. Anyway.
For sure. Well, I mean, like, I have a really close relationship with like all of my fans. Like, I make a conscious effort to like answer every single one of my DMs.
Right, right.
Not every single one. Some of them are weird. Sure. But like, I do make a conscious effort to like talk to people that love my music, and like I'm having full conversation. Like, I know about their lives, and like, it's important to them, and it's important to me to like build that, because at the end of the day, like, the music industry hasn't changed that much. It's all word of mouth. It's all like, sometimes it's Instagram ads, but most of the time it's word of mouth for like someone to go and be like, oh my God, you should check out this artist because first of all, they're a great person. Mm-hmm. That's a big thing right now too, where it's like, the people you support, you want them to be like decent human beings.
Oh yeah.
And so, yeah, I don't know. I think community building.
Yeah. Fantastic.
In this final clip, Chris Pooley, musical director for Katy Perry and American Idol, shares some short but essential advice for musicians on social media.
And any general tips for those looking to bolster their prospect? In the music industry, I think I'm typically thinking about musicians. You know, I don't know, we haven't necessarily spoken lots about that, but you know, hiring musicians, are there things that you're looking for specifically now in 2024, other than ego, things like looking at the whole email, things like that. Any general tips?
Well, yeah, I mean, love it or hate it, social media is like the way that we find people or gigs. It's always when someone says, oh, you should check out this person, always go to their Instagram and you look at the first couple things. So make sure you have a video pinned at the top of what you actually do.
Yes.
And you doing it. So if you have to dig for like a guitar player, like playing guitar, it's, you know, like, you must not be good. You're not, you know, or there's something there. So always, if you're a singer, have a video of you singing pinned somewhere up at the top that's not tuned. It's not part of an album. It's you actually just singing.
Yes.
You know, so just be real. And that's nearly almost it. Because when I'm looking around for players or someone says, oh, can you send me links to the BAM? That's what I'll do. I'll just send a link to the Instagram.
Yeah.
And I'll find a picture online and the artist or the managers, they'll do the exact same thing. They'll click on it. They'll see what the first pinned videos are. And
yeah.
We hope you enjoyed looking back on some highlight clips on the topic of social media in the music industry. Like I mentioned, this is a huge topic, so it's going to be a two-parter, so stay tuned for next week's episode on social media. We'll be posting each of these clips on YouTube throughout this week and next week. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Cloud Machine Podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, please like, follow, subscribe, or whatever you need to do to stay updated on the music industry. Thank you for listening. See you next week.